Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Today is August 25th, 2018. We're here live for the next 2 hours, and it's going to be an awesome, action-packed show, like always. I want to give out some special notes and thanks to some people real quick. But before I do, actually, it's part of this. I start my day every morning with my cup of CEFCO Fresh Joe at Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron. So go on in there, get your smokes, your coffee, your paper, say hi to Becky and the girls. And they've got some good specials going on. Two Powerades, 32-ounce Powerades for $2.50, pretty good deal. And you can get your two rollers for $2 and wash those rollers down with that Powerade. So go in there, get your smokes, paper, whatever, and say hi to the girls at the CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron. Also, we're simulcasting on KMIL 105.1 right here in the big metropolis of Cameron. And also in Rockdale at KRXT 98.5. Special hello to T-Bone. T-Bone, I hope you're listening. And Pam from Clem McKeska's. And another special thanks to Becky and the girls there at CEFCO. So give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633. Or you can contact me via email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or go directly to the website aaronsgunshop.com and check out all that we have to offer. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, and like us on Facebook. Now, let me go and ad-lib what's coming up on the show today. I didn't really write any notes for this. I was going to try and test myself to see if I could remember everything. But today, once again, we're going to be doing true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine. Trey's going to help me out on that. And then we're going to have, in our licensed to carry attorney segment, it's going to be a little bit different spin here. We're going to have Super Attorney Rick Dodd coming in. I'm very interested in this topic, maritime law versus regular law. And I'm sure there's a name for regular law. But he's going to break it down for us and tell us how it works, how it's come to be, so on and so forth. So that'll be very interesting to me for sure. Before the end of the first hour, we're going to have the delicious Janae Goodman with the tactical snacking segment, and she's going to be going back to basics. We want to revamp. We got school starting up again, so we just want to get back to basics on the tactical snacking aspects of how to prep for whatever it may be, whether it's just the lunch.
I don't know what that is. It's not coming through my
cigarette.
Start this day. Something unexpected. That's great. Now, at 11 o'clock or sometime right close to that, we're going to have retired police chief Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. He is the epitome of encyclopedia. The what else, Trey? We have a whole list for him, don't we?
We got master of manners.
That's right.
How about
educator of
the dean of decency.
Oh, there you go. And the that's right, dean or duke of decency. Anyway,
the professor of professionalism.
Woo. So, retired police chief Randy Dixon, an all-around good guy. He's the voice of law enforcement. I'm sure he's going to have a great topic coming on at about 11 o'clock. After him, we're going to have the product spotlight sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see a quick short video of me with the rifle. It's a .22 version. It's a Walther-made Colt M4-22. Excellent one-to-one scale training rifle. I brought them both into the studio today. I'll be showing it on a video, and hopefully by Tuesday you get to see the whole segment on that.
Can I just say real quick that that 22, wow, that is a beautiful machine.
You were saying it felt really comfortable.
It's stunning.
You had your daughter, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is a great weapon for a woman because there's 3 points of contact. They got the buffer spring in it. The whole works, and it just makes it really easy for a woman to shoot. But we'll talk about that in the product spotlight. Then, we're going to have a special guest in here, Kyle Van Cleese from Cameron Small Engines. And you'll see my shirt here. I got his shirt on today. And Kyle's going to be talking to us about either prepping the equipment for the winter or some products you can use. He's always got interesting stuff. And what I like about Kyle, man, when he says it, he means it. And that's the way it is. So that's why I love it. His whole family's like that. Okay. Don't forget to contact us here at the studio. If you've got some input, questions, or anything like that, the number's 254-697-6633. Let's start off now. Oh, last thing, too, Cindy Key, Master Cindy Key. She's got some things going on with family still. Hopefully next week she'll be available, so we're going to play a replay of Master Cindy Key doing something physical to me. Right now, though, we're going to do stories of self-defense, true stories of self-defense out of the Concealed Carry magazine. Once again, this is the July issue, and the first story reads as follows. Kentucky homeowner captures burglar. A Brownsville man heard noises in his home one night and found a young man trying to break in. The homeowner took up a pistol and held the burglar at gunpoint for responding police. No one was harmed in the incident. First thing on this, the story is short and to the point. Why, Trey?
I really don't know. I didn't catch a lot of that detail. I mean, it's just...
The detail was, someone like, broke in, the guy got his gun and held him there.
Yeah.
He didn't go wait and see what's going on, then go grab his gun. He went, heard the noise, got the gun, held him. Cops came, took him away.
You know, it kind of sounds... It almost sounds like he may have trained.
Oh, wow, you know.
Prepared.
Maybe so. I bet you he went to Aaron's High Cap Adventure, one of the training seminars that we have to offer. I'm drinking my coffee while I speak. The delicious premium coffee from Hilltop Sefco. Story number two. Armed Florida homeowner stops home invasion. An armed Indian River County homeowner found an armed man in his home about 5:30 one evening. He exchanged gunfire with the intruder, wounding him and driving him away. The homeowner was also wounded in the exchange. The burglar, who sustained two gunshot wounds, was arrested outside the home. Both men are expected to survive their injuries. We could talk about this one.
You know, first thing I'm going to say is, you know, Texans are known for gun ownership. But after the news that's been going on and everything, if you're going to live in Florida, get you a gun.
I mean, for real. Something crazy about Florida. I don't know. It must be in the salt air or something.
Yeah, if you get a boat, you're going to have a life jacket, right? If you want to live in Florida, get you a firearm.
Now, he exchanged gunfire, which means the gun must have been close by or it was on his person, something like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're financially able to have multiple guns, have some in different parts of the house. You know, put one in the refrigerator is not a stupid idea either. So... Touche to the guy here.
That totally reminds me of... You seen Kill Bill, Volume 1?
No, but I saw The Dogs of War.
Well, there's a scene in the beginning where the main character is fighting one of the other women assassins, right? And the woman that she's fighting, that's the bad guy, actually has a handgun concealed in a box of cereal.
That's where you go, yeah. That's
so,
go.
Yeah.
Make sure that your cereal dust doesn't gum it up, you know? All right, story number three. North Carolina serviceman kills wife's attacker. Got to make sure that's clear. Kills wife's attacker. A Fayetteville woman, and I was there, I'm in the military. A Fayetteville woman was accosted at her doorstep by an unknown man who forced her into her home at gunpoint. Hearing the commotion, the woman's husband took up a pistol to investigate and fired on the intruder. The single shot killed the attacker, who died at the scene. Nice.
You know, that one line in there, he took up the firearm before he went to go see.
And he took a single shot, which means he knows how to handle his weapon under stress.
Well, I think that's kind of established. I'm not going to say that all servicemen are going to do that, but that's kind of the job, right?
I'll say something here. There's a lot of servicemen who are just used to using a rifle.
Right.
Okay, you got officers who use pistols most of the time, or special people in charge of crews, they may have a pistol, but not all service personnel.
One of the things about the service is it teaches you to be responsible with your weapon. So if you're going to own, even if it's not your service weapon, if you're going to own a firearm, aren't you going to be responsible and trained?
You would hope so.
Yeah. Well.
Remember a few weeks ago, I did an opinion piece, warrior versus soldier, I think it was. Soldier versus a warrior. They're both great. But one's seasoned, a seasoned vet, he's tasted the sting of battle. You never know, this guy under fire or under stress could handle it a lot better than maybe somebody who hasn't had it. But that's not a guarantee. All right, so there is three stories of self-defense out of the Concealed Carry magazine. We can always learn something from these things. And the bottom line is, we've learned on these stories, is if you hear something, get the weapon first and shoot straight, and you get shooting straight by practicing. You can't say, I got a gun and I'm good to go. It just doesn't work that way. You have to practice.
There's no timeouts in real life.
That's right. Now, I'm not going to let you down. I always have an opinion. And I write like I speak, so I've got to remember how my attitude was on this opinion piece so I get the inflections in my voice right.
Okay? Oh, I can't wait now.
I was reading it to my son, and I was stepping all over my tongue. I just was having a hard time. So let's see if I can do it right this time. Opinion piece. Here's the title. You don't always have to say yes. Ladies and gentlemen, no, 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 no. Just say no. Nancy Reagan, wife to President Ronald Reagan, started campaigning in 1988 to just say no to drugs. It's a phrase that has stuck and is used in many situations towards many things that are not good for us. Well, I want to add one to the list, and that is just say no when someone wants your time, money, or help. Sometimes saying no is the right thing to say. Now, some of you may be saying, my gosh, I can't believe Matt said it. Well, believe it. And let me tell you why I say it. I see so many good people taken advantage of because they just can't say no. They give their money, time, and help. Then word spreads that they're an easy mark and people come out of the woodwork wanting a piece of their time, money, or help. Because the people they ask are so generous, they can't say no and end up at wit's end because they have no time, money, or help left for themselves. The sad thing is, when they finally do say no, they end up being miserable due to the guilt because they didn't give them their time, money, or help. Ladies and gentlemen, the only person who's going to really watch over you is you. You must learn to regulate your time and resources so that you have some left for yourself. Did I say not to help? No, not at all. It's the right thing to do. Helping others is a great way to share yourself. But if you burn out, then you're no good to anyone, let alone yourself. So when the next 100th person asks you for your time, money, or help, maybe a good answer would be, I'd love to, but no, not this time. All right, Trey, with that, let's take a break. When we come back, I have Super Attorney Rick Dodd sitting to my left right here, and I can't wait to go over this segment, maritime law versus, what's the other law, Rick?
Well, it's admiralty.
Admiralty law.
It's about the same.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll be looking forward to it.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Vicki Goza of Warwick Burns Lowell Funeral Home talks about the celebration of life.
Let's remember that loved one, their life, about the way they lived and what they embraced. Funerals are really about life. Our attitude is we need to remember this person by celebrating the life that they lived.
Call Warwick Burns Lowell Funeral Home anytime. Serving Central Texas families since 1908. 254-697-3661.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, August 25th, 2018. And to my left, I have Super Attorney Rick Dodd. Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. How's it going?
Good morning, everybody. It's going great today. A little bit hot, but, you know, looking forward later to going down to the Lone Star Gun Show with seeing all my gun nut buddies down there.
Woo! Yeah, I forgot to mention that. The Lone Star Gun Show. I shouldn't do this. They're not paying me to do this, but I'll do it anyway because I'm a gun enthusiast. Lone Star Gun Show this weekend.
Is there a difference between a gun enthusiast and a gun nut?
I think a gun enthusiast may be a little bit more refined. He probably drinks wine as compared to drinking beer.
I like beer more than wine.
Then you're a gun nut. All right. Now, Rick, you asked me, what does maritime law and common law have to do with LTC? Well, I'll make one comment real quick. You can take your weapons on the water as long as you got your license and you're in your boat. You can carry it on your hip or your shoulder. So there's the connection between LTC and maritime law. Now, I'd like you to go into
Well, of course, when you're talking about carrying it into the water, I guess you're talking about state waters, if you're licensed in Texas, which I think 9 miles out for Texas, because we used to be a republic, and so when we joined the Union, they allowed us to have rights to the water out 9 miles, whereas most states only get 3 miles out. So.
Didn't know that. I thought 11 miles was the standard for the country.
Or is it just 9? No, I don't think so. That's one reason Texas has so much oil money, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do when you're a country, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, I've always found this very interesting. Through my studies in the past years, I've always come across the maritime law aspect of it and the common law aspect of it, and sometimes they bleed together and I get confused. So I thought this would be a great time for us to get clarity on it and for people, instead of guessing what they're saying, maybe get some good information from you and know what they're saying.
Well, when we talk about maritime law and admiralty law, we're basically talking about the same thing. Now, sometimes people split those up and they want to talk about maritime law as being like dry law. In other words, what affects the carrying of people or goods on the water, whereas your wet law, admiralty law, might have to do with salvage and collisions and ship arrest. In other words, where they actually arrest the ship.
Can I even butt in real quick?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Is the admiralty law, because you're outside that 9 miles, it's international stuff, where there's got to be some agreement between countries that there's a standardized law out there?
That's right. You know, back in the 1900s, when the steam engine came into effect, suddenly the earth became a lot smaller, and it became important for people to join together, and we saw World War II shaping up. I'm sorry, World War I shaping up. So there were a lot of alliances, and the carrying of goods and docking of boats in foreign countries became more common. So, yeah, there was a lot of treaties that occurred. For instance, one treaty that we're operating under now has 167 countries have signed on to it to allow the uniformity of law. So, yes, treaties are really important part of this.
I see how that would be extremely important to do, but it's just interesting how it's going to be different as compared to on the land. So let's get into this.
Well, when we talk about the land, we're talking about common law, and a common law, of course, is something that is affected by precedent. The admiralty law, on the other hand, has a history going back before the United States was even thought about, before Columbus even sailed the seven seas, back when Byzantine sailors and Roman sailors were out on the ocean. They were also on the ocean with the Chinese and with Islam, Muslim people. So the laws had to be, well, it had to be somehow historically written, so there was some reliance on it. And for instance, Byzantine and Roman law typically had the seafarers being paid some sort of a percentage, sort of like me as a personal injury trial lawyer gets paid. I get a percentage generally. So at the end of the shipping, whenever there were goods delivered and there was some profit to the company, the money was split up in accordance to rank. In other words, if you were a captain, you would get a whole lot more than if you were a deck swabber. But on Muslim law, you were paid in advance. You were paid with the understanding that if for some reason you deserted or something else occurred, the trip was cut short, that you would owe the money back. And, of course, this was done to take care of the family while you were gone, whereas the other law tended to attract seafarers who didn't have families, who were a little bit more wild. The Muslim folks, they wanted their people to be more family-oriented. And that's sort of why the law was a little bit different there. So you get then this meshing of these laws into today, where we have a more uniform law that not only affects the United States, but will affect Britain, France, and some Chinese countries. So it's Asian countries and so forth.
Is admiral law born of common law?
Because let me
clarify my question, though, just so you know what I'm saying. If before they go out to sea, they're on land deciding, you know, we need to do certain things when we're out on sea. Although the sea laws may be different, they derived it on land, didn't they?
Well, it's kind of the opposite. You know, the laws really started out more in admiralty than they did common law. And so the common law came, our common law came from the British system. But before our common law was developed, British also had an admiralty law. And you remember the Boston's Tea Party that we talk about a lot. That happened because of something called the Stamp Act. And what we have is this admiralty law business is a very special niche in the law. If I'm ever involved in an admiralty case, which I have been, I have someone sitting with me who is an admiralty lawyer. Some of the people who used to be admiralty lawyers would be Hamilton. We know him from one of our founding fathers. Who else? Madison. And these guys were really into it, and they knew what they were doing. So the Stamp Act was being broken, if you may, not followed. And, of course, it had to do with sending tax money over to England. Mm-hmm. But here in America, where we have trial by jury, because of Madison, because of Hamilton, they had trial by jury, it was unlikely that anybody who didn't abide by the Stamp Act would be found guilty. So the British decided, hey, we're going to fix that. We're going to put it under admiralty law. So then the Crown gets to decide who's guilty or not. And that's when our Constitution was being developed. And that's when these fellows said, you know, we got to have trial by jury. Thus, the Seventh Amendment of the Constitution was born. That gives us the right to a trial by jury, not by the Crown.
It's amazing, the history, man. It really is.
It all meshes together.
There used to be this show, and it was called Connections. You wonder why you're dealing with an object today. It's because you go back in history, and you see how one thing leads to the other, just like you're saying now.
Absolutely. Yeah, the and let's not get confused about this history as it relates to the Law of the Sea. The Law of the Sea is an international treaty that I talked about a little while ago, where we have these European unions and all the nations. It really has to do with mineral laws like the oil and the gas. I mean, you have the Horizon oil well offshore a couple of hundred miles. Well, that's being done because of international law and because of Law of the Sea. So, yeah, the history of all that is interesting. It's something that we really don't know a whole lot about, because here in Milam County, we don't have a lot of interstate or international shipping being done. We don't have bodies of water that are affected by international or interstate.
Interstate shipping. Is between states, right?
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Interstate would be internally.
And you remember we had a show not too long ago where we talked about how interstate commerce yes. doesn't necessarily mean that it has to cross a state line, like the corn being fed to pigs was
right,
an
right,
example.
Right. Yeah.
So it can still be interstate even though it doesn't appear to be. Anyway, so back in the 1900s, we started having all this shipping and development of the law, and we decided then that we needed to have these treaties, and one of the reasons we had this development is bird poop.
So bird poop?
Bird poop. So we have a farming going on, and after you farm land for 4 or 5 years and you don't have commercial fertilizer, which they didn't back in the 1800s, you need to fertilize it. And they found out that if you mined bird poop off the islands of South America and packed it into big ships, you could bring it over to the European Union or up here to the tobacco farms and spread it out, and it would triple and quadruple your yield. And that stuff was worth about $5 a bushel back then. So it was a big business to ship bird poop. So
I'm always interested into the what the person's doing to figure that out. You know, is he in a closet somewhere thinking, bird poop, fertilizer, figure it out, man.
Yeah, so you had the shipping and the mining, the processing of bird poop and bat poop, and it was a big deal. So that's one of the reasons that international law started to develop. It wasn't, we don't normally think of that as being a big commodity, but there were a lot of boats full of that stuff.
Is there, before we go any further, is there any way that you will be able to identify how this Admiralty law comes into effect into the common law for you and I, the regular Joe and Jane?
Well, they are separate, and there are separate courts, and it is separate in our Constitution. So, you know, I can contrast them, but...
Well, don't let me steal your thunder. I was just curious if in the course of this segment it will come across. And if it does, I'll wait.
Well, sure. Okay. For instance, if you get hurt on a cruise ship, you are going to be bound by your ticket. And the ticket is like an arbitration clause. And, of course, the Texas... you know, they kind of have seemingly lost the gist of the Seventh Amendment in that they have allowed arbitration clause to become the law of our state. But the arbitration clause internationally in a cruise ship requires you to give notice of your injury within 6 months and then file litigation within 1 year. Generally in Texas you have 2 years, and in other states like North Dakota, for instance, you have 6 years, Missouri maybe 3 years. So their statute of limitations are different in common law, but in international law, they're pretty much the same. And so we talk about the care of the passengers, and you know, passengers would bear the burden in a cruise ship injury of proving negligence. In other words, they would have to prove that the cruise ship did something wrong, that they were not careful, and that being not careful caused their injury. And that would also include something wrong with the ship. Some sort of a, you know, like carpet being loose and them knowing about it. So there's a whole lot of law in common law that's the same as that as far as proving negligence and proving that someone else messed up. Mm-hmm. That's what I always, you know, we use these fancy words, negligence, causation, and liability. And really, it just amounts to, did someone else mess up?
Mess up.
Did they do something they shouldn't have done, or did they not do something they should have done?
But there's a difference on that, too, in the sense of they knew it was bad, but they failed to do it, or they should have done something, but in reality, they didn't know they were doing something wrong, but it's still their responsibility. Isn't there a difference between those two?
Yeah. One of them has to do with what we call gross negligence in the law, and it just is a wanton disregard. In other words, I know there's some hole out there, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it, and I'm going to just have fun watching them fall off.
Yeah, okay. All right.
In law school, they talk about someone cleaning slate shingles off of a roof. And if you throw the slate shingle back into the alley and someone happens to be back there, you know, there's usually nobody back there, but if they do, then that's negligence. But if you throw it off in the street and hit somebody, that's just willful, wanton disregard.
Yeah. Interesting.
So in maritime law, also you have effects of liens. In other words, you know, these ships aren't built by somebody walking up and opening up their wallet and writing a check. There's going to be a lot of people involved in the building of a ship as far as financing it. So that's important part of maritime law is how to build these ships and how to enforce the liens so that people are interested in the commerce of building ships. And, of course, this is all handled by federal law. So, like, for instance, if we had a maritime case here in Milam County, it would go to Waco to the federal court.
This is so complex, man. It really is.
Well, that's why it's a niche, and that's why if you're an attorney and you have one of these cases in your office and you don't contact someone who is a specialist, then you're messing up.
So, but you know your stuff, and part of the stuff that you know is you may not be an expert in this field. I need to get somebody who's an expert in that field because somehow, some way, it all connects. It's almost like a chain of command. Something happens here, everybody's got to know. Something happens in maritime, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Well, it's sort of like if you are an emergency room doctor. If you're an emergency room doctor as a physician, you have the right, the ability, and the passage to go ahead and set bones and do operations, and you can operate on the heart, you can operate on the brain, but certainly you wouldn't do that because you're not a specialist, and there are people who specialize and only do brain surgeries and only do orthopedic surgery, and it would be well advised to have them because not only are they specialists and they do this all the time, but they have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So maritime lawyers that I know are based in Hawaii, in Miami, and in Boston. And, you know, for example, a lot of the cruise ship contracts that you sign when you buy a ticket require you to either sue in Seattle or in Miami. So that's why some of these fellows are located where they are, or rather they're located there and that's their specialty.
So when you go on a cruise ship, as an example, are you giving up anything right-wise, protection-wise, from where you are from?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are going to be governed by the law of the flag that's on the cruise ship. Now, the only time you've ever seen a United States flag on a cruise ship is if you did the little cruise over in Hawaii where the ship just goes around to each island. Otherwise, they want their flag to be somewhere else. And, of course, there has to be some substance to that. In other words, you can't just put a flag up and say, well, this is a Somalian ship.
Okay, lost me on that one. So if you got, like, a Prince's Cruise, is that a cruise line?
Yeah. Norwegian, I think. I'm not sure, but I think Prince's flies a Norway flag.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. So if the company's owned by a certain person, that flag is going to be up on that ship, and you are under its laws.
Correct. Yeah, it's maritime laws, which if there's a big treaty, you know, they might be the same as a lot of other countries, but there are going to be some nuances.
Okay, so when you're going out there on your cruise, because I know a lot of people go on a cruise, and I'm wondering if they even think about this. Not that they're going to be doing something wrong, but God forbid something does happen and you are subject to the laws because you're involved with an incident. It'd be nice to know, hey, it's a little different in this country than it is here. And I think what I gathered, unless I misheard you, is that basically they're the same. The terms of when you can do things or how much time is allotted may be different with maritime law as compared to common law.
Oh, absolutely. And this, again, is why you want to make sure you get the right lawyer. And I spend a lot of time in my National Trial Lawyers Association meeting people and networking. So this is one of the things I like to do learn about different kinds of law just enough where I know what to do with those type of cases as opposed to try to handle them out of my office, which would be ridiculous in maritime or admiralty law.
Does maritime or admiralty law have anything to do with rivers, lakes, streams within, let's say, this country?
Absolutely. I mean, anything that has to do with water that connects with an opportunity to move from one state to another. I mean, there may be lakes like Lake Powell that goes through, I think, Arizona and Utah and maybe into Colorado. That might be subject to maritime law.
What about Lake Travis?
I think that's all in Texas. And there, you know, there may be some nuances. Again, if I went and talked to a maritime lawyer.
It's like the LCRA has their own laws, man, their own force, everything. It seems different if you're on that water or any type of LCRA-treated or protected waters. It seems like it's different, and they have more power than anybody else once you step on land.
Well, it is their water, they claim.
They claim.
You know,
yeah.
They can't take away our constitutional rights, Matt, but, you know, they can sure put a bulge in the side of that balloon.
Wow. This is interesting. Okay, what else you got here?
Well, okay, let's talk about salvage. Salvage is always something that people are interested in because, you know, it has to do with gold and silver and shiny things like that. So if we're out there and you're walking on the beach in
I never thought about this. Go ahead.
If you're in the Redneck Riviera and you're walking down the beach there in Gulf Shores and you look down and, man, there's about four big old gold bars and you pick them, and what would you think? Would you?
Finders keepers.
Finders keepers, losers weepers.
I wouldn't turn it in the way it is. I'd be cutting that thing up into pieces or something.
That's happened. And, of course, there's been some criminal activity involved in that sort of thing. But
I was just saying it.
I know. But anyway, you'd be half right because I know that there's already been some weeping going on when somebody loses a bunch of gold like that. But there is still some ownership retained in those gold bars. And if that ownership can be established, the ownership might be the country of Spain or Italy or France because it might have been lost back in the 1500s. You never know. But the good news is there the Admiralty Law and the Maritime Law helps you out with regard to salvage rights. And salvage rights is would be a question of law, and that help determine the salvage rights. For instance, if you can imagine there's a big ship that's being blown into a reef, and you are in another ship, and you risk your ship and your crew and your equipment to cable that thing off and pull it away, that your salvage rights might be bigger than if that same ship was just lost power out in the middle of the Mediterranean and you hooked onto it and brought it safely into port because, you know, bigger risk, bigger rewards, I guess is one way of putting it. So it really has to do with opportunities and quick thinking. There are situations where if a ship sinks, that's what they call a high-risk situation where you are bringing a ship up. So they got the high order and the low order of salvage. The low order would be like the ship running out of fuel and you giving it some fuel. So they owe you for that, and the ship actually does.
Rick, let me ask something. Let's flip back over to LTC. Let's say you're saying the ship's going to the reef and another ship's helping them and they get some salvage rights because they put more risk into it. What about third-person protection of another person? And let's say the person who you're protecting gets some type of benefit from the incident. You went and stepped in to try and help them. Do you get any financial benefit off of that?
Well, under maritime law, you would for property. There is no salvage value for life or limb. In other words, you should always help people. But if you're going to risk your equipment to help someone else's property protect them, then you should have some salvage rights.
I see that. Okay.
Yeah. Now, you know, like, for instance, if a ship is on fire and your crew boards it and puts the fire out, if the ship is already sunk and you bring it up, or if you are towing it away from the surf, that would be the high order. The low order would be something more like pulling it out or giving it some fuel or pulling it off a sandbar. And, you know, it has to do with the skills of the saver. You know, some people are professional salvage operators, and things of value. And when I talk about things of value, I use the gold. That's a good example. But also, you have like German U-boats that have a lot of good paraphernalia in them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the American Civil War ships are high value. Sunken merchant ships might have high value stuff in them. So it has to do with the value of what you say. Now, you know, obviously, if you go out and pull a 12-foot sailboat off a reef, you're not going to expect as much as if it were a 70-foot merchant ship.
Rick, we got somebody calling. Let's see if it has something to do or pertains to this. We'll see, unless they want to do a trade radio.
Maybe they want to talk about
piracy. This is Matt. You're on the High Cap Adventure Radio program. How can I help you?
Hey, Matt. I've got a question about my firearm, but it's not related to what y'all are talking about right now.
That's fine. Go ahead. What you got?
Well, I got an M&P shield. It's Dawn, by the way. I don't like the trigger that's on it. I want to put an Apex trigger on it. Now, if I'm in an altercation, this is my everyday carry weapon. Is that going to cause legal issues for me due to modifying the gun?
You know, I've heard questions like that, like if you use different types of ammo, self-defense ammo as compared to basic ammo. And we're fortunate, Rick, if you want to, you know, jump in on this, that'd be good. The answer I would give to you is, I don't know. You get a good attorney who wants to cause a fuss, they could probably do something. And then you have a great attorney like Super Attorney Rick Dodd here saying, no, you're crazy, whatever, and he'll probably help you get off this situation. But, Rick, what's your input on that?
About modifying a gun?
Modifying a gun, better trigger.
I mean, that's your business to modify the trigger. If you're waving it around, pointing at somebody, and it goes off, you would probably be negligent anyway.
See, I look at it this way. I say, no, I'm modifying the trigger because the original trigger was rough, and it would cause my gun to jump and not be extremely accurate, whereas the new trigger, being more slick and smooth, enhances and makes more sure of my accurate shot.
But just don't point the thing at anybody. Unless you intend to, and then you know, let it go.
I don't think you got much to worry about, buddy. Really.
I don't either.
Just maintain proper gun safety, and you'll be all right.
Yeah. And, you know, as long as you maintain something and operate it reasonably, and as far as modifying it, if your modification, and you feel safe with it, it is safe.
What if I put mercury in hollow tip bullets and covered it with wax? Would I get in trouble for that?
Well, you might be developing a bullet that would be illegal.
Okay. All right. I hope we answered the question. Thanks for the call. If somebody else got a question, feel free to give us a call. 254-697-6633.
About how much more time do I have?
Probably have 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Jones Act, because that is something that is developed under the maritime law. It was developed in the early 1900s. By a gentleman, guess what his last name was?
Smith.
Okay, you're close. his cousin, Mr. Jones, Wesley Jones, out of Washington State, and of course, like a lot of pork barrel congressional information, Senator Jones from Washington had the Jones Act enacted because it has to do with interstate commerce, interstate movement of goods between states. And it requires interstate commerce to be done with ships that are built in America and manned by Americans, which sounds great for Americans, except that Puerto Rico, for instance, the Jones Act has been blamed for the decline of the economy in Puerto Rico. One study indicates that shipping goods to Puerto Rico by American cost twice as much because of the Jones Act. So, of course, we have proponents of the Jones Act, and we have opponents of the Jones Act. And you can imagine folks in Oklahoma who have to pay more for their goods probably don't like the Jones Act.
Right.
Where the folks in Washington, because of the Jones Act, have pretty much a monopoly on trading with Alaska, like it a whole lot. So Texas probably likes it pretty well. We have a lot of industry and economy and commerce from ports here in Texas. So that is one of the things about the Jones Act, and it is allows a protection of the sailors. So this is one thing where I sometimes get involved is people who get injured on the high seas. The Jones Act allows them to have a claim under negligence, which common law is generally workers' compensation laws. If you get hurt on the job in Texas, your rights are very limited, but all you have to do is prove that you were hurt. Whereas the Jones Act, if you can prove negligence or that the ship itself had a problem that caused your injuries, you can get compensation for a wide variety of things, non-economic damages and economic damages. Whereas if you cannot prove negligence, you're pretty much down to like workers' compensation benefits of some money weekly while you are off work until you reach maximum medical improvement. and also your medical is paid for. So the Jones Act is important, and there's a big long history of it that we could talk about for hours, and there are books like a full library that might tell us a little bit more about the Jones Act. And
well,
all
I'll tell you what, Rick, since time's running out, I may be throwing this on you and you're not prepared for it, and if so, that's cool. But I mentioned just before the segment started how terminology, you take off the maritime and admiralty law that can be recognized here on land. Like we were talking about the dock, ships comes into the dock. The truck is loading up on the dock because they're shipping goods. Is there anything else that you can think of that terminology of the sea comes to a common usage here on land? I had a bunch of them. I just can't remember. I thought you might be familiar with them.
Well, I think what we're talking about there is international law and international commerce. Because whenever you have a ship come in from Saudi Arabia into the port in Corpus Christi, there's going to be people on that boat that are not Americans, and there's going to be rules at the dock that require them to stay on the ship, or if they come off the ship, of course, they have to have their passports and get stamped in for visas. So that's important. And so when goods pass back and forth, now we have tariffs in place that we have to account for how many pounds of steel might be going in or coming out. You know, we're going to have those windmills that we see popping up all over Texas. Those things are coming in from countries like Belgium and Sweden. They're going to be weighed and tariffed. So we have cotton, grain going out, all that stuff just has to be accounted for, I think, is my point.
It's very in-depth, interesting, and I found it very interesting because I've always touched on maritime and admiralty law through the course of my studies on how things go in the world, but I'm not a master at it. I know it's out there, and I know there's a difference. So it was just an interesting thing to me, and I thought we'd express it and talk about it today, which you did, and I think you did a great job. And like you said, it could be a 2, 3, 4, 5 hours worth of information to talk about.
It would be more than that if you're ready. I mean, one more point. You know, a lot of people would recognize if you got hurt while you're working on a tugboat that the Jones Act would affect you, but a lot of people wouldn't think about fishermen, commercial fishermen. If you're out, you know, commercial fisheries for, say, red snapper. And you might be in a small boat, you know, like 4 or 5 people. The Jones Act would still apply. It doesn't have to be a big old merchant ship, in other words.
And what about the guys? I know you mentioned this before, the Verizon thing, but what about the guys who are working the oil rigs that aren't out in 200 miles of water? They're in.
Okay, oil rigs, even though they're fixed platforms, are also governed by the Jones Act. So that's a good point.
Okay. Well, very good.
Because they're seamen. And a seaman, you know, there's certain definitions regarding a seaman. One of the things that is always a question of fact, and sometimes us lawyers get balled up in, is the definition of seaman insofar as a substantial amount of time on the water. And that is a question of fact. And there's been one federal court case that says at least 30% of your time is on the water. But, you know, again, that's just a case that gives us some guidance. It doesn't mean that is the line.
Okay, Rick, we're out of time. Why don't you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
Well, you can give us a call at 254-697-4965, or you can just get a little respect for you and go to respectforyou.com.
And Rick and the crew over there, Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, they sponsor this segment of the program. Can't thank you enough for that. Without people like you and my other sponsors, we wouldn't be on the air. So make sure you contact these sponsors when you need some help, because they're helping us. Circle of life, everybody.
You made a point earlier, Matt, about the time, and that's always a big problem in a law office, is the amount of time you spend and being able to say no. That's one of the reasons that I specialize in what I do, because if I had to learn all these different kinds of laws, I wouldn't be able to spend the time with my clients that I need to. And it's important that I do that. In order for me to represent somebody thoroughly, mm-hmm. I have to spend the time on their case.
That's good. Well, that's why you're so successful. Your system works, so that's good. All right, let's Rick, once again, thanks for coming on the show. Trey, let me talk about some announcements before we take a break. We'll run a few minutes late for the chief, and we'll have Janae right after my announcements here, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a few dates coming up here. Just want to keep you reminded of. September 3rd, obviously, is Labor Day, so have fun on that as the summer closes down. September 7th, we've got our two for night. That's Friday the 7th, September 7th, you come with somebody, the person, your guest, will shoot for free. Range time is free. September 8th, Saturday, 2 o'clock, is my next LTC class. It's filling up pretty quick. So if you're interested in that class, you need to give me a call or an email ASAP. It's $60 for a new person, $40 for somebody who just wants to take a refresher class. I don't have to do any extra paperwork on you. That's why it's a little bit cheaper. September 14th is our next round robin. If you haven't done one, you need to do it. It's not only fun, but it's great training for somebody, especially if you've got a license to carry. September 21st, if you recognize yourself or identify as a woman, your range time is free on the third Fridays of the month. Seminars. We've got seminars for basically everything. Shotgun, rifle, pistol, self-defense, home invasion, so on and so forth. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the High Cap Adventure page and look at all the different types of seminars. You give me a group of five or more people, we'll set up a class date especially for you. Sponsors. We've got great sponsors now, but there's a lot of cost it takes to get a show like this on the air. So if you have a business and you think it fits with this type of show, we'd love to have you as a sponsor. You can give me a call or an email, and I can give you the details on how to become a sponsor for this show. All right, Trey, let's get that delicious Janae Goodman on here with another segment of Tactical Snacking, and I think she's going to be refreshing our minds about the basics when it comes to food and prepping. So take it away.
Greetings, my lovelies. As a teacher, I consider August to be a time of new beginnings and reflection. I thought this would be the perfect time to refresh you on who I am, what I do, and why I do it. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. So, a bit of background about myself. Started dabbling in the kitchen on my own when I was about 8 years old. My grandmothers, mom, and aunts were fairly active in the kitchen, so a vast majority of my early skills came from observing them. I must admit, I've always been the type to acquire information and try things out on my own, so cooking and baking were always my go-to experiments. I vividly remember coming home every day in elementary school and getting really excited about mixing flour and water together to play with before anyone got home. Or having a strong craving for pancakes with no legitimate idea of how to make them, so I'd end up with sweet tortillas drenched in syrup instead. Cooking was quite the learning curve, but hey, you've got to start somewhere, right? Needless to say, cooking was a lifelong passion for me, and it came down to the conclusion that it was something that I could make a career of when asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" on a weekly basis. After all, I was always told that if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. So, after graduating from Challenge Early College High School in Houston, Texas, where I was born and raised, I obtained my associate degree from the Culinary Institute of America in San Antonio. I worked a few kitchen jobs before, during, and after my pursuit in my associate degree, and I realized that the joy I had for cooking was overshadowed by managerial demands and ungodly schedule hours. I wasn't really happy with what I was doing, and I decided to reach out to my mentor, Ms. Kelly Carvias. She landed me a position in a pre-K through 8th grade school. While reflecting what I truly wanted to do, I realized that working with kids and our local farmers market while I was in high school was what made me smile. It was a no-brainer. Thus, teaching had fallen into my lap, and it ignited a true passion for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's not an easy job, but it is a necessary one. With obesity and food-related diseases steadily climbing, it became very clear to me that people aren't aware of what they're eating, how it's processed, and what overall effects it has on their health. The sad reality of that is that families that are aware of these issues can't really afford to do anything about it. I saw and still see a crucial need for my role. What I didn't see is it being something that landed me a radio side hobby. When Trey and Matt asked me about having a weekly segment on the show, I have to admit I was pretty hesitant. I mean, it's one thing talking to kids, it's another thing talking to adults, especially adults all over the country. And on top of that, I was literally bringing knives to a gun show. I mean, what could I possibly bring to the table, right? As it turns out, quite a lot. And I'm not shy about sharing the information I have, so please don't hesitate to ask. On that note, I want to address my inspiration behind the topics I share with y'all for Tactical Snacking. My family didn't grow up with much money, and being an educator basically means I still don't have much money. That wouldn't be an issue if I didn't have such expensive taste. So please understand that eating healthy doesn't always have to be expensive, nor does it have to be a chore. My goal for this show is to reach people who may not have feasible funds, as well as those who need guidance in the kitchen or in their gardens. My second goal is to promote sustainability through the model of reducing, reusing, and recycling kitchen materials. This includes composting kitchen scraps, utilizing leftovers, and getting the best bang for your buck. Also, recipes, because who doesn't love those? Speaking of, I thought it appropriate to share my recipe for dumplings with you. I've perfected it since my elementary skills, so don't worry. All you need is a cup of milk or water, 2 cups of flour, and salt and spices to taste. Stir together your flour and spices. I tend to use about a teaspoon and a half of salt, along with parsley and oregano for savory dishes, or I'll opt for a teaspoon of cinnamon and a tablespoon of sugar for sweeter dishes. Add in your milk and stir until you have a doughy consistency. Pull off small pieces, about the size of a gumball, to toss in your dish. Let them simmer for about 15 minutes or until cooked thoroughly. I love using this recipe for chicken and dumplings, pot pies, and fruit cobblers. If you missed last week's segment on fall garden prep, please make sure to check it out at thecultivatedclassroom.com. If you have anything that you'd like me to feature on the show, please don't hesitate to contact me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. I'm also available for any culinary and gardening questions you may have. After all, Tactical Snacking wouldn't be possible without your support, so thank you for those of you who've reached out. I hope you have an amazing week, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm hoping you're having a great Saturday morning. Nice and warm outside. To see those boys out practicing football, see those people running up and down. Makes you want to wish you was young again, doesn't it? Not. Anyhow, I hope everybody's had a great weekend. It's been a week. It's been a good week. We've got some had a little bit of rain last week, and hopefully we'll get some more soon. Today, I kind of mulled around what I wanted to talk about. Then I started thinking, you know what? If you've been watching the television the last couple of nights, there is NFL preseason football on. There is football games fixing to start on the high school level that's coming Friday night. College games start this coming Saturday, and it's just going to go on and on now. So it's that good time of the year. And, you know, if you haven't noticed yet, that means that fall is in the air. No, not the change of the leaves, cooling of the temperatures, or even those wonderful geese heading south. But it's football season. It's upon us. So what I thought I'd do today is talk about something. You know, when in my younger days, and I'm not talking about my high school or college days, but back when I was a middle-aged young man before I reached the senior side of life, there wasn't a Sunday or a Saturday that went by that I wasn't at friends' house or friends at our house that we didn't have some kind of football game party. We had barbecued hot wings. We did whatever. Those who enjoyed the fruits of the vine, they had fruits of the vine. Of course, I only had my good old Coca-Cola. But anyhow, those people that get together, they always kind of celebrate the football season. But, you know, you don't see people having, say, let's have a Major League Soccer party at the end of the season, or let's have a Super Bowl party. That's normal. But how many times have you seen people wanting to have a World Series party or a seventh game of the World Series party? Unfortunately, we attune football a lot with party time, and that's what I want to talk about today. You know, according to experts, and I just looked this up yesterday, more money is spent on beer, liquor, and food, and wine, etc., during the next 3 months of the year than is spent in the entire year. Hard to believe, isn't it, that a 3 to 4 month period of time, there's more gallons of alcohol consumed. There's more bottles of wine, more bottles of whiskey, more bottles of whatever, and a lot more pizza consumed than any other time of the year. Why is that? Because people enjoy getting together with their friends. They enjoy watching the excitement of the football season. So what I want to talk about is that it's time that if you're going to be a party person, you need to first off know how to party. And I'm sure not a lecturer on how to tell you to party. You probably know that better than I do. But what I am going to talk about is responsibility that goes along with partying and hosting a party. You know, as a host, it is important to remember that you're responsible for those whom you bring in your house or yard for a party. And let me reiterate that one more time. If you bring individuals into your house or your yard, you are responsible, both legally and morally responsible for them. Too many times, individuals won't take the bull by the horns and demand that the keys be handed over to them before a party starts. You know, and you need to stay as a designated sober person as well if you're going to host a party. The host determines when and where he should be, and let that person who's preparing to leave that take a chance. You know, there's nothing in my mind that's more devastating. Nothing could be worse than for me to host a party, cook a ton of hot wings, cook barbecue, have people bring their own beer if they want their own beer or whatever. But there's nothing worse than I see someone that's been at my house that's intoxicated, and I let them get behind the wheel of a car to go home. What does that say about me as a person? Not much. So what we have to do, folks, is we have to understand that if we're going to host a party, we have to be responsible. We've got to be the one to make sure that our friends are protected and that the kids are protected. It's imperative that a good host watch the people they invite. Alcohol can help some people have a good time at your party, but you need to ensure that you won't be responsible for violating any alcohol laws if that intoxicated person or guest decides to do any damage once the party is over. Have you ever noticed, and I'm sure that probably none of y'all get into the same realm or the same position, but have you ever noticed that there are some people that when they start drinking, they decide to become Superman? Or they think that they're God's gift to either women or God's gift to whatever it may be. If that's the case, folks, you need to be the bull. Once again, take the bull by the horns, and you need to be responsible for that individual. Sometimes you got to tell people, okay, we're done. It's time to go home. And I know it seems like we're a party pooper, but that's not the case. That's being responsible. There are alcohol laws in place that could leave you potentially liable for a variety of incidents, even if they happen after your intoxicated person has left. Don't be the one that gives people drinks. Don't be the one that provides the alcohol for them if you're going to let them drive afterwards. You know, there's something called a social host liability, and you need to be aware of that. These laws are aimed at hosts who serve alcohol in a private setting, and and it's different than laws that affect other people. It's different than laws that affect establishments. commercial vendors, commercial alcohol sales. But as a social host, the alcohol laws should be concerned about you and how you treat your people that you invite over. You know, and whether you're planning a private gathering or a large charity event, party hosts are responsible for making sure the event is not only fun, but safe. Once again, it's your job as a host. The best way to do this is through careful planning. I'm telling you right now, if you're serving alcoholic beverages at your party, let me give you a few ideas on how to keep your guests safe. You know, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But number one, and it's hard, especially in rural areas, especially where everybody knows everybody. But if you're going to serve, you make sure that your person you're serving is not underage. That's 21 years of age or younger, underage. If they're 20, they can't drink. Now, there is some misnomer about the laws, though. If their mother and dad is with them and within sight of them, they are allowed to drink under Texas laws. Sometimes that's a little bit of a catch-22, especially if you let them drink with their parents and then they go out on their own driving. So, understand that. Don't allow anyone younger than 21 to have a bit of alcohol at your party, especially if you want to be a responsible person and not liable. Put yourself in the mind of a non-drinker. Don't force drinks on your guests to refill their glasses right away. Some guests may accept drinks that they don't want in order just to avoid appearing rude. And I know I've seen that many times. You know, people drank their beer, they drank their mixed drink, and all of a sudden they said, well, I'm done. But no, here, have another one. Just one more. Folks, don't be that way. You know, we see the commercials on TV. Every alcoholic beverage commercial on TV right now says drink responsibly. And that's what you have to do as a host. Not only drink responsibly, but serve responsibly. And one of the things that you should always do, if you're planning on any kind of get-together with folks, always serve some kind of food with it, especially a high-protein food like cheese, meats, a meat tray. That stays in the stomach longer, and it slows down the absorption of alcohol into the bloodstream. It doesn't prevent it. It won't make it go away, but it does slow it down. Although, you know, food causes alcohol to be digested more slowly, it really has no effect on the pace of alcohol as it leaves your system. The only thing that's going to make alcohol get out of your system, not black coffee or not anything like that, is just time. So don't rush your partiers off. If you want to close down a couple hours before they get ready to leave, you can do that. But I know that's hard, extremely hard. Don't mix alcohol with drugs. We're not even going to talk about that, whether it's legal or illegal drugs. You know, there's a lot of people, especially people that have different kind of pains and ailments and hurt and all that good stuff. A good beer, a couple of good beers mixed with a good old Vicodin might not work real well in today's world. So try to be conscious of that if you're a good host. Avoid mixing alcohol with carbonated beverages if you can. Carbonation accelerates the effects of alcohol affects it inside the body, you know, and we all do that. I mean, we've all, if you're going to have a mixed drink, what's the old saying, a 7 and 7 or a Jack and Coke, we don't think about things like that. And we're not going to think about things like that because your host and your friends, you want to take care of them. You want to be a good host, but you also have to understand, folks, that you're responsible for those things. You know, try to stop serving alcohol 2 hours before the party is over if you can. You know, I know it's hard because people want to drink right up to the very start of it. Make sure that you try to do what's right. Make sure you try to take care of your friends. You know, and measure. Don't just pour. You know, be a bartender, if you will, or either call some bartender that you know that's certified. Like I know one in particular, Matt Bistros. He might be willing to go to work for you and be able to do your party for you. Because just going along with setting the bottles out and letting people measure their own, I'm telling you, they get more in there than they plan to get. So, you know, it's necessary, and this is the hardest part, folks. If it's necessary, take the car keys away from your friends. You know, I know you wouldn't have a party with a bunch of kids around without taking the car keys away from them. But if you need to, take the car keys away. And once again, make sure you measure, make sure that you take care of them. And one of the things that's really critical is this: be careful who you invite. And I'm not telling you to, you know, and that's really important.
There's always that one.
If you invite, that's it. If you invite good friends who are mature social drinkers, you shouldn't have a problem. You should have a good, safe party, and it should be fun. But if you invite people that they know that you don't know, it's a little bit awkward when you try to tell them that they can't have alcohol, or they need to quit drinking so much, or they get a little unruly. You got to be in control. You know, football season, and you've heard me talk about it for 6 months now, getting up to it. Football season is one of the most fun times of the year for me and anyone else. Man, the best part of my life was sitting and watching the Cowboys with friends or the Longhorns with friends. Sorry, you Aggies. I never was very good friends with them. But sitting around watching all those games and thinking about all those good things that took place. But you also had to be responsible. It only takes a second for a tragedy to happen, folks. It only takes a second, a millisecond. Now, you know, and it doesn't make it. I don't care if you're supporting the Cameron Yeoman, the Rockdale Tigers, the Wildcats, the Hutto Hippos, the Rattlebar Rattlers, the Minerva Minnows, Aggies, Longhorns, the Cowboys, or the Texans. It doesn't make any difference. Just be smart and be responsible for yourself and those you care for. If you don't, tragedy takes place. You know, one of the worst things you can do is a law enforcement officer, and I'll tell you right now, I've done it way too many times, is to walk up to that front door, knock on that door, have a parent come to the door, and they see the look on your face, and they know exactly what you're there for. You're there to tell them that their loved one's not coming home today, or that their loved one was killed somewhere. So, folks, don't let that happen. Be responsible. Take the bull by the horns. Don't allow your head to get stuck down in the sand, and pull it out of that or whatever else is close by the sand that you're sitting on, and be responsible for those that you care about. You know, I've got a lot of good friends that have not heeded that warning over the years. A lot of good friends of mine that didn't come home. And it's a sad situation. But there's also those good friends of mine that we partied hardy. But we were always responsible. For some reason, you know, you don't want a 350-pound man being drunk and being unruly. So I was always the designated driver. But if you can't be a designated driver, make sure that you're responsible for those who are leaving. Be upfront, be honest, be, if you have to, be rude and tell them, no, you're not driving. You know, there's no such thing as cab services around this area anymore, but you might find a Uber driver or nothing else. Take them home yourself. They can always come home. Might not want them to spend the night with you there, but you can always take them home, kick them out near the front door, and let them amble up to their own door. The bottom line is this, folks. Be responsible, be honest, and be careful. And last but not least, one of the things that I want you to talk about and want you to think about today is we are going to be starting the football season very shortly. And as much as I enjoy the season, there's a lot of kids that are out and about. There's a lot of young people out and about. Be careful, be honest, and be smart. So until next week, everybody, I hope you have a great, wonderful week. Stay out of trouble and be safe.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Label Funeral Home in Cameron talks about being just a phone call away.
We are at a family's disposal 24/7. You don't get an answering machine. You may be talking with the family late at night or thought of something. You can pick up that phone and call and know that you're going to talk to one of us.
Call anytime, 254-697-3661.
You will feel like you are the only family that we're...
Arch Coons, of ANC Firearm Texas is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 25th, 2018, and we are in our Product Spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz, the owner, very good friend of mine, very consistent in his generosity and friendship and hospitality. It's really, it's a nice place. ANC Firearms, Chief, you know Arch real well, don't you?
Real well. One of the finest men I've ever met in my life.
So, everybody, you know, he sponsors part of this show, so it's a circle of life, like I always say. He helps me, you need to help him, and we all work it out together. Now, what I wanted to talk to you about today was the Walther made Colt M4 in 22 long rifle. Excellent rifle. Love it to death. Let me make a quick, before I get these articles all the time, and I break them down because I want to hear other people's opinions and agree or disagree or whatever, but there's a difference between getting an AR-556 and putting a conversion kit in it and getting a dedicated 22. It's just, you know, if you have the conversion kit, you get two guns in one, but you don't get as good accuracy or maybe some of the dependability as you do in a dedicated 22. So if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, I got a short video of me holding that rifle. And actually what I'm going to do right now while I'm talking is to get the two that I brought in today, make sure that they're clear. Magazine is out. Chamber's clear. Getting the second one, and I'll show it to you in the video later on, probably Tuesday, that you can barely tell the difference in the two. Chamber's clear. So I've got the two now in front of me, and I'm going to put it in front of the camera. And these are both of mine, and I had them designed the same way so that everything is muscle memory. Now, if you're very sharp, you'll notice I got the flashlights on two different sides, and I do that for a reason. The 22, I would prefer to always have the light towards my body so that my right hand can manipulate it, but if I'm wearing a tack vest, sometimes it catches on my equipment, so I put it on the other side, as the 556 one here shows. So there's little differences in the two, but when it comes to training, it's amazing what it can do for you. So I'm going to read this article about the Walther Colt 22. Excellent rifle. And then you can go to ANC Firearms and get yours ordered here. This is from GunDigest.com by George Amsel. Amsel? The Walther Colt M4 Ops 22 long rifle is a dedicated survival gun chambered in the ubiquitous rimfire cartridge. Its function and accuracy excel over ordinary 22 conversion kits. Made by Walther, this Colt License 22 is remarkably well-built. A dedicated 22 AR style rifle has advantages over a 22 conversion kit. I was just talking about that. The Walther Colt M4 exudes detail and authenticity, making it a dandy trainer. The rifle sports a match-grade barrel and exhibited excellent accuracy. The advantage of conversion kits for your standard AR is that they are cheap and essentially you get two guns out of it. However, the rifling on the AR is not standard for the 22 long rifle, nor is the sizing of the barrel exact. The kit works, but many people prefer dedicated AR style rifle exclusively chambered in 22 long rifle, which improves the rifle's function and accuracy. Walther Arms is a renowned German firearms manufacturer with more than 125 years of history and a solid reputation for quality and innovation. The company produces several licensed versions of famous firearms that they dub tactical rimfire replicas. These full-size replicas are made in Germany and come with all the details, weight, and handling characteristics of the originals. The Walther-made Colt M4 Ops Tactical AR Carbine is a blowback-operated semi-automatic and is designed to be as close in appearance to the full-auto carbine currently issued by the U.S. Special Forces. The controls function just like the original, which makes this an excellent rifle to use as a low-cost trainer. The Colt M4 Ops looks very authentic on the outside, but it's a completely different animal on the inside. The rifle comes with a 16-inch steel match-grade barrel that is located inside the Parkerized metal barrel sleeve that replicates the contours of the M4 barrel. The barrel is topped off with an A1-style flash hider that is one of the few steel components of the rifle. The front sight is a standard A2 gas block and is adjustable for elevation as well. One thing that distinguished the M4 Ops rifle from the other Colt AR replicas is that the Walther offers its free-floated quad rail handguard. This handguard offers 6 inches of Picatinny rail space at the 12, 3, 6, and 9 o'clock positions and features Knights Armament-style one-piece polymer ribbed rail panels for improved comfort while handling. The upper and lower receivers are both made from aluminum-like original. Like the original, the left side of the lower receiver carries all the proper markings with the Colt Rampant Horse logo and is labeled M4 Carbine above the serial number. And I'll show that in a little bit in the video. It is marked Hartford, Connecticut, USA as appropriate. It does differ in listing the caliber designation as 22 long rifle. The real manufacturing information from the Walther is on the right side of the lower receiver. Now, I was impressed with the attention to detail in this replica. The trigger guard has the detent tab and hinges down for use with mittens or gloves as the original. The upper and lower receivers look and feel just like the real AR. The magazine release button works the same way, and the safety selector rotates 90 degrees from safe to fire. There is no auto firing. With the same resounding click and feel as the original. The metal charging handle has a functioning latch and retracts to load and operate the rifle. The furniture on the Colt M4 is very accurate as well, with polymer pistol grip and collapsible stock that includes a rear swivel swing, in that the adjustable length of pull in the stock provided 5 positions. The upper receiver has a flat top design with Picatinny rail that forms a continuous length of the quad rail handguards. This provides 13 inches of uninterrupted space on which to mount optics. An A2 removable sight is included, allowing for both windage and elevation. But for many, there is nothing better than an entirely dedicated rimfire AR rifle, and if you want one that looks and feels as close to the real thing as possible, you're only going to get it from Walther Arms, and I can't argue too much with that. The licensed Colt M4 Ops is an accurate rifle that pays homage to the America's Special Forces and provides you with cheap, fun, and reliable operation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was a pretty good article on it, because I concur with it all, but I'm going to show it to you a little bit more detail like I did in my Facebook video. But we're talking about the Colt horse. Now, Walther made it, but they got licensing from Colt to do it. So all the markings are the same, as you can see. And I'm showing in the video, and you get to see it on Tuesday, most likely. But here you got the quad rail. You got the front sight with the bayonet lug, the M4 contours, and the steel flash hider like they were talking about. You got the adjustable stock. And you got the safety lever with fire and safe. Everything looks just like the real one, because here's the real one right now. And this one's my SIG. This one's a piston-driven. It's not the normal gas impingent one, but as you can see, I've got the flip-up sights on this one instead of the iron post. But it basically looks the same. Okay, it handles the same. All the buttons are the same. Weight's the same. So instead of shooting my 5.56 ammo, my 223 ammo, whatever, which one you have, I get to shoot one that's just like it. I got my ACOG on it, the whole works. So I can train with cheap ammunition. And then when I go to shoot the real thing, there's not a lick of difference because the recoil on this one is minimal. It's minimal. It's not that much more than the 22. So check it out. Go to ANC Firearms. They're in Heidenhammer. Their phone number is 983-4417, 254-983-4417. You got Clint, Mike, Dennis out there, along with Arch. They've got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, knives, accessory, reloading equipment, the works. And if they don't have it there, they can order it for you. So go ahead and give them a call about the Walther Colt M4 22. Tell them, I just heard it on the show. I want one. It's hot. I want to get it. Order me one now. They probably got it in stock at the moment. I know they got some other things there as well. So if you can't find one, you can get another. But if you specifically want, give them a call and tell them you heard on the show and that you'd like them to order it. Okay, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine Repair. He's going to give us a whole bunch of good information for prepping our equipment. And I think he's got a whole bunch of special deals coming up, too. So we're going to talk to him on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron Small Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron Small Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's August 25th, 2018. We're about, 27 more minutes to go. And to my left here, I have Kyle Van Cleve, owner of Cameron Small Engine Repair here in Cameron, one of our sponsors to the show. Kyle, it's always a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing today, buddy?
Doing great. Thank you, Matt.
I'm glad you came on because, you know, it's been dry for a while. Haven't been cutting too much grass. Things are sitting, equipment's sitting. So there's always good tips to know. And I gave you a call and a text, and we were trying to figure out what we can make sure that the public out there knows and what you can tell them, and you also got some good deals going on. And I got my Cameron Small Engine Repair shirt on. See that?
Cameron Small Engine.
There you go, man. Looks good. Okay, so what do you got going on, Kyle? And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I know Kyle's parents, okay? He comes from good stock. Those Phil and, can I say their names?
Yeah.
Phil and Gwen, they're great. What comes out of his mouth, it's true, okay? And if it's not true, it's because he got bad information and he's just relaying what he thinks to be true at the moment. So when he speaks, you can count on it. Miss Gwen took care of my kids. She did a fantastic job. Phil, he's an awesome guy. I like him a lot. And we got Kyle, their son. So I'm telling you, when he's talking, listen, because it's accurate. Go ahead.
All right. Well, talking about storage, we're kind of at an odd place. We're coming to the end of the cutting season. It was already dry. Everybody was needing some rain. A couple of weeks ago, people got 2+ inches, and I saw around the area a lot of places were still dry, so they might not have gotten it. We're at a weird spot coming to the end of the season where we do we need to store this equipment? Are we going to use it for a month? Is it going to sit until February when all the new spring stuff is coming up? So kind of at a strange spot, but if you're ready to park it and you know you're there, good thing to do is to go get you some freshly pumped fuel at your gas station, or if you want to, you can buy that canned fuel. It's more expensive, but it's good stuff. It's ethanol free. The stuff you're getting at the pump has got ethanol in it, and that's not helping things. But if you go get you some of the low grade, and the reason you want the low grade is because the gas that is manufactured at the fuel pumps is got a certain amount of life in it. The cheap stuff gets pumped into the ground faster because it's pumped out of the ground faster. And you want that stuff in there, and you want to add some stabilizer to your fuel.
Well, I got a question from the get-go.
Okay.
If ethanol is not that great, why the heck are they putting in the gas?
It's lawmakers, policymakers, the people who grow corn. I mean, it's helpful for those, helps them out, farmers that produce it. Another thing to note about it that you might not have known, it's 100% trucked. You can't pipeline it because it's so corrosive.
Wow.
So that's another thing. Your E85 vehicles that are made to run on 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline, they have special fuel lines. They have special rubbers in them, special O-rings, special gaskets, because it eats them up.
Flex fuel, is that got ethanol?
It's 85% ethanol. It's E85.
Oh, wow.
So your flex fuel vehicle can run on E10, E15, or E85.
But the flex fuel vehicles have more tendency to probably corrode quicker?
I didn't say that. They have special fuel systems to accommodate
okay,
that
I got
corrosive
you.
Stuff.
I got you.
So it's good for farmers. It's
so
good
us without those special systems.
Right. And that's another thing. You don't want to put E85. You don't want to put anything bigger, anything higher than 10% volume of ethanol into your small engine equipment. They're just not made for it. They can handle 10%. No more. It makes them run leaner, it makes them run hotter, and it just does bad things anyway.
Okay. All right, continue on.
So your stabilization, you can use any number of products. We carry a product called B3C. It's either ethanol shield or mechanic in a bottle. Either one of those you can use for fuel stabilization.
Do you have mechanic in a bottle?
Yes.
You better let him out.
Trey's over there groaning.
All right, I'm sorry. That's like you got Johnny Walker in a bottle. Yeah, I sure do.
The ethanol shield, we're talking about mechanic in a bottle, letting
them
out. Is
your refrigerator running? Yeah. I think I just saw it down the street.
Yeah, mechanic in the bottle, letting them out. It's the same thing as ethanol shield. It's just more concentrated. Okay. So it's an even better product than ethanol shield. And it does really cool things for water and ethanol issues. It prevents ethanol issues. And if you do happen to have some residual water in your system, the mechanic in a bottle, or MIB, is really cool stuff. You can take 2 ounces of it and about an ounce of water and shake it up, and you don't see the water anymore.
Where does it go?
It's bound up in it, and it will actually burn with your fuel through the engine and evacuate.
Wow.
It's really cool stuff.
That is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you can treat that fuel with that for storage. Treat your fuel tank with that fresh fuel with the stabilizer, mechanic in a bottle preferably, because it prevents you from having ethanol problems. And if you do have some...
Can they get that from you, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we keep that in stock all the time.
Well, that's great. See that? Listen to that. That's a fantastic tip, everybody. You need to go, support this guy here. He's giving you great information.
Yeah, you treat that fresh fuel. Get it running through your system. Let it run 10, 15 minutes to get it working from your fuel tank into your carburetor, and then you're ready to park it. You want that treated fuel worked into your carburetor so that it's in there. For some reason, that fuel in that carburetor, I don't know if it's smaller amounts, your carburetor is also vented to atmosphere. And it could be that exposure to atmosphere and a smaller amount of fuel, it goes bad a lot faster than a large amount of fuel. Mm-hmm. So what's in your tank may be bad, but it's not as bad as what is gumming the heck out of your carburetor.
This is interesting. I had a gas tank in the barn, outside barn, there for years, and it still worked. Is that possible? Because it worked.
The fuel we got now is not the same as we had maybe even 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe at that time that's possible. That being said, for years and years, way before ethanol was in anything down here, and I'll call Texas the South because I just kind of relate Texas with it, but there was no ethanol in here for a long time. And up north you had gasohol, and you know, people knew what that was. We had carburetor problems all the time, even before ethanol got here. So it's surprising to me that you had some for years that still had the boom in it to mm-hmm. start your engine. I don't know if you've seen, all the fuel cans are sealed up now, so the atmosphere can't get them because that ethanol draws moisture out of the atmosphere. They used to be open, and you could see vapors yeah. sweating off of them. That's the boom you need to run. So if you've gotcha. Been sitting there sweating all those vapors off for years, and all that's left is the heavy elements, it ought not start and run. So if it did, it surprises me.
Well, interesting, because it did.
Yeah.
But just, I don't know, fluke. Maybe it was closed. I didn't know it. It was contained in its own can. But that's maybe a small story.
Yeah.
Keep going with what you got, buddy. Got information here.
And, you know, you could do something else. And we often have a very mild winter, and there's grass growing throughout. And it's not real fast, but it's there. And, you know, it makes your lawn not look great. It's not level. You go ahead and cut it. 2-3 winters ago, it's stayed pretty darn mild, and it rained throughout, so mm-hmm. people really didn't put lawnmowers up. So it's kind of hard to know what to do if you're going to have a mild winter. But
well, worst case scenario is you're just going to blow out your preparedness or the stuff that you're putting into the
yeah,
fuel system and just redo it, right?
Honestly, the worst it'll do is cost you some stabilizer. I mean, and it's a good idea to keep it in there anyway just mm-hmm. to treat for ethanol issues and to prevent them.
What about this, too, when you're done cutting the grass to clean the deck, moisture in the grass, rotting your belts? And
yeah,
all that.
It's a good idea not to mow wet grass like has been just rained on or a heavy dew, because it sticks all that junk to your mower deck. And another thing it can do, it can rust it out. But another thing it can do is it sits there and it's clumped up and your blades are in it. And by the time it dries, I think it expands just a little bit, and your blades are hung up in it. You go to engage your blades, and the blades are not turning, but your belt is trying to turn. And your belts are all torn up on account of that. So that's another thing we have seen. So it's a good idea to clean out under there. It's hard to get into the habit because a lot of people are not equipped to even change blades, let alone clean out underneath mm-hmm. the deck.
Well, it's hot down there, too, after yeah. you're done doing it. So you got to yeah. cool it down, you forget, and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting, too. Some people may not know this. I didn't know it at first because I'm just the dummy at that. The blades, a lot of time, get dull because of the sand.
That's right. You have, let's say, somebody that's in metal fabrication. They'll have a sandblaster to remove rust or paint, and they're great for that. But if you keep on going, once that's gone, it eats right through the metal. It'll cut it, and you see the wings. The blades have wings on them to move air, and the air is what discharges that grass out to the side. Well, that wing is standing up proud, and that sand or any kind of dirt you got there is sandblasting the backside of that blade, which is the wing standing up, and it'll just come right off, and it'll be gone.
So if you have sandy loam, you're more prone to quicker yeah, blades absolutely. That are getting dull than somewhere
that's
like
right.
black dirt. Okay, I see you got a bunch of stuff here. You got specials going on?
Yeah, we got some specials going on here. There is... we have a 360Z series of Snapper Zero Turn mower. We've got $150 rebate going on through the end of August, September actually, so September 30th. We've got that. $50 comes off of the price at the shop without you negotiating, and the rest of it is actually a prepaid Visa card that you get after you mail in a rebate.
Can we show this on the screen maybe so people can see what they're doing, or is it something?
Yeah, there was one of these that said confidential, so I may not show that one,
okay.
So I'm not sure what the deal is, but you can see that there. $50 comes off of it at the shop, and then plus whatever you negotiate, because you can. It's all negotiable. We're an individual mom-and-pop shop, so it's not like it's corporate, and we're like, no, this is the prize. So everything's negotiable, so you got that plus that. The rest of this, I believe...
Okay, we want to show that, then.
Yeah. The other one, we have some Snapper tractors in stock that apply for a $300 rebate. They're trying to flush those out of the market. There's 2017 models, and they've got a different hood. No, the hood's the same, but the grill, they've changed. And they want to flush those models out. I've got three of them on the shelf there that have a $300 rebate, and it's the same deal as the other. $100 comes off of it at the shop without you negotiating, then whatever you negotiate, and then also you'd have a $200 Visa.
He doesn't have to tell you this, everybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to tell you this at all. he's doing it because, you know, he's one of us. You want to get a good deal the best you can, but he's also in business. We got to take care of each other like that. So
we've got that. In addition to those, we have financing available for both Big Dog Zero Turn mowers, Snapper tractors, and Snapper Zero Turns. They've got a bunch of 0% plans, 0% for 12. This will be for Big Dog. 0% for 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, 42 and 48. And you also have some 0% for Snapper, only one. 0% for 12 or 0% for 48 months. Those are things that we can provide, and that's not us doing that. It's actually a company called Sheffield Financial. They do stuff for the power sports industry and music vendors like guitars, amps. They do that for the small engine industry also. So we have that available as well. But that's something we can do. Another thing that we've got, I have in stock right now two 54-inch Big Dog Alpha MP mowers. They're demonstrator models. They've cut grass. They've come from another dealership. And I can take some money off of those. They also have an upgrade on the front end. They're called Flex Fork. So that zero turn, by and large, has no suspension on it. The only suspension you'd get out of it is the rubber and the tires. They're pneumatic tires, but these have a suspension system built into the front end, and that's a $300 upgrade that will go with it for nothing. And it also has, it's not air conditioning, but they call it an air seat. It's got a fan in the seat, and it blows on your back, so it's a pretty nice little.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, anyway, the list price on that is $45.49.95. That's the demonstrator model. We're taking $300 off of it. So, and any one of these would be eligible for financing. That is with your approved credit, though. So it's not in-house, and it's not Big Dog or Snapper. It's the Sheffield Financial. So we just plug in your financial information, and they'll get a call back within about 5 or 10 minutes and tell us if you're approved for that and take it on.
Well, that's great. I want to ask you something, because as the clock ticks here, tell people what you do that they don't know you do.
Well, we don't really advertise it, but we do utility vehicle and ATV repair. Don't advertise it because I have no formal OEM training on it, but this stuff from the outdoor power equipment industry transfers, the two-stroke and four-stroke theory. It transfers. The systems are different, and it was a little bit to learn, but I don't have any formal training, but I do pretty good at it, or I have so far. So.
Okay, what about product?
No, I don't have a product that I retail as far as power sports goes, but
got seed and all that.
Okay, products. Yes, we have lawn and garden products. We have lawn and garden seeds. We sell fertilizer for your lawn, fertilizer for your garden. We have pesticides, herbicides, basically lawn and garden care products. That's that end of the business is kind of shrinking because the outdoor power equipment stuff is taking over. And also for some of that stuff, a lot of people are going to big box stores and big retailers for that stuff. So,
well, don't do that. Well, take care of the homegrown guy.
And that's right. And if it gets where I can't, people won't buy it. I'll get where I don't sell it. So
What about the prepper, like lime? What's the dirt that bugs can't get through?
It's called diatomaceous earth, or DE. It's actually made from diatoms, and I didn't really brush up on this, but in the sea live little single-cell organisms, and when they die, they husk their exoskeleton or shell or something. And it actually falls to the seabed, and it's harvested from there. And it's so sharp that, let's say ants, for instance, you're treating something, you've got diatomaceous out, you put it on a pile of ants. They have an exoskeleton, and those sharp edges on the diatoms actually cut them up in the joints, and they bleed to death. So it's non-toxic. I mean, it's not good for ants.
And an example of that, an example of that would be if you're trying to store food in a container, you'd line it with the container so that bugs are coming through. They can't make it to your food.
They make it there, but they don't make it out. I mean, you may have bugs in it,
but criminals who come into my house. You may get in, but you ain't getting out.
Yeah, they just don't make it because it kills them. I mean, they can't survive it.
Okay. That's good. Some people don't know that. And that's what I was trying to get at, is some things that you provide. Because I remember, you know, working with your dad on things. Like, I didn't know you did that. You did that, too. So that's what I was trying to let people
know.
And
there's a number of things we can get that we don't stock. So if there's anything you need, you can just check with us. And
I always give this example, too, Kyle. I saw this a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me. You got two gas stations right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. But one gas station puts out a cheap sign that says, flats fixed. okay? Guess how many people are going to that shop instead of the other shop because that one little sign. They go, oh, flats fixed. That other shop fixes them too. But this guy's got a sign up for it. That's why I wanted you to broadcast all the little stuff that people may want but aren't familiar with it being at Cameron Small Engine. So, all right, we got like about a minute left. What else you got? Anything you want to recap? How to get a hold of you? Website, phone numbers?
Yeah. I'm a millennial, but I don't have time for Facebook. So we're there, but I just don't have time for it. I'm too busy. So we're on Facebook, but we also have our website. It's CameronSmallEngines.com. Phone number is 254-697-3452. Give us a call there. Our fax is hooked up to the same thing, so if we don't catch it in like three rings, the fax machine's taken off. But call us right back. We're trying to get to the phone. So maybe laying on the ground changing a blade or something like that, or there's a lawnmower in them, don't hear it, that kind of thing. Call us right back if we don't pick it up. We'll get you. But you can catch us there on a website or Facebook. I do check it every now and again. I don't apply myself real hard on it because I got
other things to do. That's right.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you one more time. You go to Kyle, and just the Van Cleve name is one of honesty and truth, and they're going to do the best they can for you. So go check them out, and I think you'll be happy about it. So, Kyle, I can't thank you enough, not only for being on today, but for sponsoring part of the program.
Thank you.
Hope to get you back on again. And, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you take care of homegrown businesses like Kyle here. So, Trey, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to do a quick spot, and then we'll have a repeat of Master Cindy Key doing something physically violent to me to help you protect yourself on the street. Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Small Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Small Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We got about 7-8 minutes left of the show, and I just wanted to give a few more announcements or repeat something. Trey, you know, we have so many great people come on this show with some great information.
We really do.
I mean, it's very. If you go and check out the YouTube archives and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of great information when it comes to Rick and Ross and Kyle and
you know,
Cindy.
You always say that this is a Second Amendment and Prepper show, but I tell you, man, and I know I've said it to you before, this is an adult education show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Because, I mean, you teach so much. You have the right people on here to teach the stuff. It's fantastic.
I was talking to one of the guys down in the shop. He's been coming for quite a long time, and he was telling me about all these different methods, old school methods, old timer methods of how to build fires and cook with the hobo stoves and all that kind of stuff, and how you can make things. I would love to get a handful of guys, three or four guys and gals, doesn't matter to me, old school type of stuff. The tricks of the trade. If you don't like, we're going to be doing a ladies show. Everybody, we're going to be doing a ladies show in November, and its basic topic is equivalence. Everybody's mainstay thing is this, but if that mainstay thing isn't there, we have equivalence that we can do. So the old timers here saying, you know, when the modern technologies don't work anymore, you go back to old school type of stuff. So that'd be pretty interesting.
But we're not going to mention using a crank telephone to fish because that would be illegal.
Shh, we didn't say that. Now, before Master Cindy Key comes on, I want to reiterate some of the dates coming up. September 7th, the first Friday of the month, will be two for a night. If you bring a guest, the guest shoots for free. The range time is free. September 8th is my next LTC class, license to carry class. Starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com if you want to be a participant to the class. The fee is $60. If you already have a license and you want to refresh your memory, it's $40. September 14th, the second Friday of the month, will be the round robin competition. That's a great competition to learn some good skills. And if you win, who knows, you might get a good prize. September 21st, the third Friday of the month, is ladies' night. If you identify as a woman, your range time is free. Seminars. If you want extra advanced training, shotgun, rifle, pistol, home invasion, give me five people or more. We'll set up a class date for you. Sponsors. If you've got a business out there or you just want to help and contribute, we've got spots available on the show. Great segments that you can bookend or just basically advertise on it. Rates are great. We simulcast on two different stations, so you have an extremely large market. Give me a call or an email, and we'll set you up, explain to you how it works. Okay, so, Trey, let's get Master Key ready to go, and if there's any time left, I'll come back on and say goodbye. If not, once again, keep your powder dry, and God bless.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to show you how to redirect somebody's energy. Let's say there's a door, and you're in front of me, and I think you're going to be a threat or you're going to bother me, and maybe you're just messing with me, and I just want to get to that door and get out of the way, and I don't really want to do a whole lot to you.
And once again, it'll be on video probably Monday or Tuesday. You get to see it. We'll do it one way, then do the reverse way, and then you can check it out. Okay.
So if he's coming at me and I just panic and I just put my hands up here, we're in a struggle now. It's his power against my power unless I start striking. Okay, and all I want to do is get to that door. He's, you know, he's bothering me. I'm just going to turn. Okay, here, the first he's coming at me, and I stay chest to chest with him, and my hands are out trying to stop his momentum. But if he's taller and bigger than me, he's going to push me, and I don't want that. But I want him to go past me, so I'm going to put one hand on one shoulder, one hand on the other. But I'm not going to stay straight at him. I'm going to open up like a door, just like I have a hinge on my back leg, and I'm just going to turn like a door. And that's going to take him that way, and then I can go this way.
I'll tell you what, I was talking to her during the break, and because we were practicing this, my energy was directed forward. I wasn't even expecting a twist, and when that happens, you get loss of balance, so that worked out really well. Let's reverse it so they can see it from the other side.
So again, if I try to stop this power, and we're chest to chest, now we're in a power struggle here, unless I start striking. But I don't want that. And I'm right-handed, so I'm going to turn him. I'm going to use my left hand for control, and I'm going to turn his shoulder. And as I'm turning, I'm walking, and I have my hand here. But if he comes at me, I have my kick. And so I'll stop him that way. And then I'm just trying. All I'm doing is trying to make space and get to my opening.
Very good. Okay, we're going to have that on video. Miss Key's got some things going on. Miss Key, why don't you tell everybody what you got going on, where you're at, how they get a hold of you, so on and so forth.
I have a summer special, and I only have 8 openings left because I'm only accepting 10 new students. And there's 8 openings left, and it is $99 for 2 months of class. And the uniform and stuff you have to get for me, and that's $45. But if you want something for your kids to learn some real self-defense, and we also prepare for a world championship that is in... July or August, I have to look at the calendar, but we do that, and I take usually take the whole school to that.
See, I mean, everybody, she takes you from beginning all the way to competition. So, I mean, you learn the whole ropes, you get to compete. It's just like shooting at a piece of paper with a gun, a lot of good it is if you don't go advanced training. Well, she takes you in there as the piece of paper and turns you into a round robin, and she starts learning you, teaching you how to maneuver, taking the competitions to compete against other people, things like that. So,
30 seconds.
Talk it up.
Well, the difference between my class 2 and some other classes some that I've been to is that some schools test. So if you come to my school, I have a traditional martial arts school, and we do some fun stuff within the tradition, but the kids test at their own rate. So if we have it, because I'm a terrible slow learner. If you're a slow learner, he may test a little later than somebody else, but if I have one that's really learning and he's respectful and, you know, he kind of gets the mentality, then he may test before. I don't hold people back and say, okay, we're testing every 2 months or test you if you're not ready. If you're not ready, you're not testing.
All right, everybody. Until next week, keep it powder dry and God bless. Thank you, Ms. Keith.
News on the Hour, sponsored by Quicken Loans.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Pope Francis is celebrating his first visit to Ireland.
Quella musica che viene di là.
It's all so beautiful here, the music, the babies that are crying.
The last pope to journey to Ireland was John Paul II in 1979. But this visit is overshadowed by the sex abuse scandal involving hundreds of Catholic priests. Reporter Declan de Bredun is in Dublin.
The pope today spoke of the need for stringent norms to be adopted in the future and the